refuge from that. We take refuge in Him from that. And we use all the things that we have learned in order to protect ourselves from that, from reciting the Quran, mentioning Allah's name, and the things that we discussed here. And we ask Allah to help anyone in that regard, to be He is the one who can cure, and He is the one who holds all the gifts of mercy and health and reducing from this affliction. Ameen. Please come closer. Make yourself more tighter in your ranks so that we can have more people in the masjid. Okay. The English question is abnormal menses, that's in English dysmenorrhea, have anything to do with the jinn?
هذا ورد بالأحاديث قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في الاستحاضة إنها ركضة من الشيطان. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ذكر أن الاستحاضة وهو النزيف الطارئ الذي يطرأ على المرأة غير دم الحيض المعروف أنه ركضة من الشيطان، فالشيطان يسبب للإنسان أمراض وعاهات، وقد جاء ذلك في القرآن، ومن ذلك قوله تعالى كما حكى عن أيوب رب إني مسني الشيطان بنصب وعذاب، فلذلك الشيطان كثير من الأمراض سببها الشيطان، ليس أمر الشيطان واقف على حد الوسوسة. يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام ما من طفل يولد إلا مسه الشيطان، وفي رواية إلا وخزه الشيطان فيستهل صارخة إلا عيسى بن مريم وأمه، وذلك أنها لما حملت بمريم دعت ربها وقالت وإني أعيذها بك وذريتها، حينما وضعتها قالت رب إني وضعتها أنثى والله أعلم بما وضعت وليس الذكر كالأنثى وإني أعيذها بك وذريتها من الشيطان الرجيم، فعيسى وأمه عصمهم الله من وخز الشيطان. بيّن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أن للشياطين خطفات، ولذلك قال كفوا صبيانكم عند فوعة العشاء فإن الله يبث من خلقه ما يشاء، ولذلك أمر المسلم أن يستعيذ بالله من الخبث والخبائث إذا دخل الخلاء، فالإنسان إذا دخل الخلاء قبل أن يدخل الخلاء يسمي ويدخل بالرجل الشمال ويستعيذ بالله من الخبث والخبائث، الخبث ذكور الشياطين والخبائث الإناث، لأن هذا هو مكانهم ومسكنهم، فقد يصيبون الإنسان وقد يضربونه وقد يمسونه ويسببون له الصرع، فلذلك يستعيذ بالله من شرهم.
So again, the question related to the abnormal menses and is affected by the jinn, and certainly without doubt this is directly related to us in authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, who said, istihada is from the rukbah of shaitan. Verily, this rukbah, rakda, yes, is a strike from the shaitan. So it's a direct hit, a direct strike or bolt from shaitan to disrupt the normal menses of a woman. So this is the direct words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And verily in the Quran,
وايضا ذكر النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام الطاعون انه وخز اعدائكم من الجن، الطاعون مرض سبب الجن كثير، ولذلك يعني كثير من العلماء يقولون بان السرطانات هذه المنتشرة سببها الجن.
الحمد لله. In another narration he just added here, verily in the ta'un, which is leprosy, is from shaitan, from a jinn. So therefore we see there are direct physical ailments directly related to the unseen and the shaitan. So even dysmenorrhea or abnormal menses is due to the strike or the hit of shaitan. And another narration you just mentioned here is leprosy is from the evil effects of shaitan. And in the Quran, he mentioned the ayat of Allah Ta'ala who said, verily, the whisperings of shaitan is that which afflict you. So we see from the waswas of shaitan, these are the things that actually afflict you in a physical way. And another narration, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every person who from Bani Adam who is born is afflicted and touched, is struck, is pricked by shaitan at birth. And another narration, the exception of Isa, and his mother Maryam alayhi salam, except for these two, because Allah said that in the Quran, may dua for them that Allah would purify them from the time they were born to the time they had died. So from this narration from the ayat of Allah, we see except for all humanity, except for these two, they have been afflicted by the shaitan. And also know another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, protect your newborns, your children and families from the places of defecation, the khala, the places where you go to urinate or relieve yourselves. For verily they are inhabited by the evil ones. So therefore we've been taught that we avoid these places and try to protect ourselves from these places. Whenever we enter, we take refuge in Allah from the evil ones, the filthy ones, the male and female among them, in the translation of the meaning of the door that we enter when we enter the places where we go to the toilets. So therefore we should protect ourselves from those places and the kinds of activities that will lend ourselves to those diseases, both physical and spiritual.
المعين يعني الذي يصيب بالعين والله إذا يعني إذا علمت أنه عائن عليك أن تذكر بالله عز وجل وتقول له يتق الله عز وجل ودائما يكون على ذكر الله ولا يتقصد ضرر أحد من المسلمين لأنه إن تقصد ذلك أثم وهذا من أكبر الكبائر أما إذا كان يقع منه من غير قصد فلعله لا يؤاخذ ولكن العلماء ذكروا أنه ينبغي على السلطان اللي هو الإمام الخليفة أو السلطان أن يحبسه حتى لا يتأذى الناس بعينيه وفي الغالب من كان كذلك يعني يشتهر عنه ويعرف ذلك لأنه الأحداث تقع أمام الناس.
The question was related to is it permissible for one who is afflicted with the ayn for the people to deal with him and kill them? They are liable for death. And he said very simply, without doubt, among those peoples and nations who are not ruled by Islam, the dealings with them are as we deal with anyone who's possessed, that we take refuge from Allah from them and try to keep ourselves protected with the word of Allah, His perfect word, the Quran, and the words and remembrance of His names in the dhikr Allah. But in terms of those who have been authorized to do so, whether it be an emir or those who are in Islamic court or those who have the ability to do so, then they only those can make that judgment. And it's only based upon their harm upon the public, when they can cause from their evil effect of eyes to others, when this established rule and law comes down. And only that can be discussed in those circumstances. But in the circumstances that we have now, we have no power authority, because verily it's to kill somebody is one of the most evil of all deeds. Other.
إذا لم يترتب على ذلك مفاسد فممكن تخفف العلاقة أما لعله يكون رحم ولكن إذا تخشى على نفسك أن يصيبك بالعين فلك أن تنزوي عنه أو تحتجب عنه ولكن لا تقطع بمعنى أنك تعادي يعني.
Okay, so the relationship that we have with these people should be done as a brother in Islam, and we don't completely disassociate from these people. And of course, they harm to the people, and that's where the judgment of the law and the land comes. They can isolate and move these people. But in terms of our dealings with them, we cannot just immediately cut the ties with our brother in Islam, and we should do our best to have them treated or treat him ourselves, protecting them from the evil effects from it.
لكن ذكرنا أن السلطان يجب عليه أن يحجر عليه يعني يحبسه ويعلفه بمعنى أصح.
And if those who are in authority have the ability to do so, they can jail them. They can put them and keep them away from the people.
احتمال أن تكون مصابة بالعين وهذا يعرف بالقرائن ويعرف بالحال وإذا كان الطفل يبكي ويصرخ من غير سبب وصراخه يكون متواصل وكثير وخصوصا إذا كان هذا الطفل جميل ومثلا جيء به بعد شوق وانقطاع أو أنه في أسرة ليس فيها أمثاله من الأطفال أو أن عنده يعني كفاءات وذكاء متميز وغير ذلك فهذا عرضة أن يصاب بالعين فممكن أن يكون هذا سببه العين وممكن أن يكون هذا الطفل مصاب بالمغص والرياح والغازات اللي كثيرا ما يصاب بها الأطفال فيبكون لهذا السبب يعني الأم إذا كانت مريضة أو مثلا معها رياح ممكن ينتقل هذا إلى حليبها فيؤدي إلى الانتفاخ عند الطفل والغازات فيسبب له هذا. فليس كل يعني صراخ يصرخ الطفل ممكن نعزيل العين حتى لا نجد تفسيرا إلا العين. إذا لم نجد تفسيرا إلا العين بمعنى أن الطفل عرض على أطباء والأطباء قرروا أنه ما في عنده مرض عضوي وهذا الطفل يصرخ ويصيح وكذا وكذا أو أنه يسقط أو أنه يخاف أو أنه يقوم يمشي وهو نائم أو يعمل إشارات ويتكلم ويذهب بصره يمينا وشمالا فهذا ممكن أن يعزى للعين وبالتالي يحتاج هذا الطفل إلى رقية وإلى علاج بالقرآن.
Verily, in Alhamdulillah, in relation to a child who has these symptoms of not eating well, not sleeping well, and crying many times, these again some of the signs that are afflicted from a particular infant that has been afflicted with the eye, or the evil eye, or the ayin. And therefore, especially in those cases where the child is either on its own, or very beautiful, very good, pleasing appearance, or it's in a different age group from other children that are in also in the same household, that may be very intelligent and moving around, etc. So these things must be considered, and therefore the treatment, of course, is to recite the Qur'an and to protect it from using its name or complimenting it without mentioning Allah's name or favoring it, using Allah's name over it all the time in all places. And also it should be distinguished knowing that some of these very same symptoms could be caused by medical symptoms, such as colonic gas, stomach upsets, from both food or by digestive problems or from stools that are not correctly being released. And then these are things that are also quite common among children and particularly among those diseases that may be transferred from the mother who may also be ill and transfers that illness through the giving of milk through the breastfeeding. So these are all things that also must be considered in light of all the other symptoms. So therefore, in this case, children should always be inspected and diagnosed by a doctor. And when they find no cure or cause, should say, physical sign of any illness, and then we immediately go to the Quran and those other things that we've been taught to treat them from that evil eye that may be afflicted upon them.
يعني أريد أن أقول أن بعض الأمهات لا تتفقد ولدها من حيث الحفاظ الفوطة هذه فتترك ساعات من غير غيار فربما هو يعني يقضي حاجته في هذه الفوطة فيتأذى من طول الفترة فيصيح وهي لا تدري أن الصياح بسبب التسلخ الذي حصل له والأذى الذي حصل له. فلذلك الأم يجب أن تعرف أول شيء مما يبكي الطفل، إيش الأسباب التي تجعل الطفل يبكي، إما جائع، إما عنده مغص، إما يحتاج غيار الفوطة، إما كذا. ولا تعزي على طول كل شيء للعين وللحسد. ثم إذا التمست كل هذا فلم يعني تعزو هذا الصراخ إلى شيء من ذلك وبعد ذلك عليها أنها تعزو العين. وعلى كل حال فعلى الوالدين دائما أنهم يرقوا أولادهم الصغار والأطفال في الصباح وفي المساء وإذا كانوا يعقلون فيلقنوهم ألفاظ الرقية والآيات التي يتحصنون بها من العين ومن الشيطان وغير ذلك.
This is an important announcement and advice to all the women and mothers of children. Do not keep your children all day or for long periods of time bundled up in all types of clothing or blankets. They should always be left open at least occasionally just to inspect them to see if there's any feces or diarrhea or urine or those things that the baby may defecate and may leave upon their bodies. This is a good and a very clear indication some disease and causes because of this. It causes both physical disease and also causes the attraction of those elements that are evil. For this case, these are some things that could be easily prevented. So the habit of waddling children up in clothes, and especially in the cold season, without taking them off to either keep them from perspiration and defecation that may be on their bodies, is also a source of disease and harm for the child. They should be cautioned to that. And therefore, these are the things that we should remind ourselves of. And in addition to those other diseases that the child may be afflicted with at the time when they're eating, when the child is being changed or when the child is being attended by the mother, this is the time when the ruqya or recitation of the Quran can be done. This is a time when recitation of the Quran can be done at this time. When you have this close contact with your child, so all mothers of children, please pay attention to this. And also cautioning, don't be too hypersensitive and paranoid by thinking any type of physical illness is directly related to some kind of evil eye. Be attentive, be cautious, but don't be overly protective and thinking that everything comes from evil. Look at the physical situation first, for these are the easiest things to be dealt with and the easiest things to protect and prevent any harm from.
إذا كان البيت مسكونا بالجن فإما أن يظهر الجن على صورة حيوانات وأفاعي وإما أن لا يظهر وإنما يسمع صوت وتكسير أواني ودبدبة يعني صوت أقدام أو تخويف لأهل البيت أو إيذاء لأهل البيت وبعض هؤلاء لا يؤذون أهل البيت ولكن يشعر بهم أهل البيت فنبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام علمنا أن هناك تحصينات للبيت هناك أسباب نستطيع أن نحصن بها البيت من هذه الأسباب أولا أنه البيت لا يكون فيه معاصي يعني ننظف بيوتنا من المعاصي ومن أعظم هذه المعاصي الشرك بالله عز وجل ومن أعظم هذه المعاصي ترك الصلاة ومن هذه المعاصي أكل الربا ومن هذه المعاصي تعليق التصاليب الصلبان وتعليق الصور ذات الأرواح ووجود الكلاب في البيت فإن البيت الذي فيه كلب وصورة لا تدخل الملائكة كما في الحديث لا تدخل الملائكة بيتا فيه كلب أو صورة فإذا الملائكة خرجت من البيت تدخل الشياطين بالطبع فكيف نحافظ على بيوتنا من أن يعشش فيها الشيطان لابد أن تملأ بذكر الله عز وجل وبتلاوة القرآن وعلى رأس ذلك سورة البقرة فإن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول إن البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة لا يقرب شيطان إن البيت الذي تقرأ فيه سورة البقرة لا يقرب شيطان فتقرأ سورة البقرة يعني لو قرأتها في الشهر مرة في بيتك أو مثلا في الشهر مرتين أو ثلاثة هذا شيء طيب كذلك آية الكرسي كذلك أن نترك يعني صلاة النوافل في البيت لأن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول اجعلوا من صلاتكم لبيوتكم فإن الله جاعل من صلاتكم في بيوتكم خيرا كذلك إذا دخلنا إلى بيوتنا نسلم نسمي ونسلم لأن هذا فيه بركة من دخل بيته فسلم سمى الله وسلم يكون ذلك بركة عليه وإذا دخل فسمى الله قال الشيطان لا مبيت لكم فارجعوا لأن الإنسان إذا دخل بيت دون أن يسمي الله دخل معه الشيطان فإذا أكل دون أن يسمي أكل معه الشيطان فإذا نام دون أن يسمي نام معه الشيطان فإذا جاء الرجل أهله دون أن يسمي جامع معه الشيطان لذلك من السنة إذا أتى الرجل أهله أن يقول بسم الله اللهم جنبنا الشيطان وجنب الشيطان ما رزقتنا فإذا قضى الله بينه ولدا لا يضره الشيطان فإذا هناك أسباب يندفع بها الشيطان ويندفع بها أيضا أن يكون هناك الكلام الحسن بين أهل البيت أن يكون هناك بينهم يعني الاحترام والمحبة والتعاون لأن الشيطان ضعيف أمام الجماعة قوي أمام الإخوة أو الأهل المتخاصمين كما في الحديث الراكب شيطان والراكبان شيطانان والثلاثة ركب وكما في الحديث عليكم بالجماعة فإنما يأكل الذئب من الغنم القاصية قال الله تعالى وقل لعبادي يقولوا التي هي أحسن إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم فالشيطان وظيفة الوقيعة بين يعني الإخوة وبين الرجل الزوج وزوجته وهكذا يعني بهذه الأمور وغيرها يندفع الشيطان ويطرد من البيت بإذن الله عز وجل كذلك ألا يكون هذا البيت فيه معاصي فيه مزامير لأن المزامير تجلب الشياطين وإنما يكون فيه ذكر الله وتلاوة القرآن ونحو ذلك.
And alhamdulillah, the question that next is on the book is if you know that you have the house possessed by a jinn or occupied by a jinn, how do we eradicate it or how do we prevent it? First of all, he says from the signs of the inhabitant of a house by a jinn can be anything from hearing strange sounds or footsteps or shouts or talking that's unseen from nowhere, or just being generally fearful of the family members in that house, then these are the signs that there are indeed signs that the house is being occupied by a jinn. And there's no doubt that among the causes for one's house to be possessed by a jinn is because the house is being not maintained in the proper way, purified and beautified for the sake of Allah alone, and falling into sin. So the very first thing we should say, that any person who has a household should maintain it according to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prevention from all evil. And among the evils that cause the destruction and entrance of jinn, among them, chief among them, is shirk. That is, worshipping or adding anything to the worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its share. And that is number one. With that also is the leaving of salah, the obligatory salah. And also there is riba, and danger in usury, the things that are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in monetary actions. And also hanging pictures in that. Verily, any picture that has an animal or being that has a soul is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mentioned in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, verily, any house that has a picture, they will not enter the angels. The angels will not enter. So verily, he said, if the angels don't enter, when the angels leave, who enters right away? It is the shaitan, the jinn. So these are the things that we should defend and protect our houses from having the inhabitants of these jinn in the first place. And the chief among them is bad behavior, bad speech, not using good language, not treating each other well. And these are the things that are the things that draw and maintain the inhabitants of the jinn. He said, we mentioned performing the nawafil salah in the home. For verily, the Prophet ﷺ said, perform your voluntary optional salah in your home, for verily it is khair, it is goodness. Goodness for yourself and goodness for the house. And verily, whenever you enter the house, always say the name of Allah and give salam. But verily, who enters the house without giving the salam, shaitan will have a portion of your bed, will have a portion of your food. So if you don't say bismillah when you enter your house, shaitan will have a portion of your bed. And if you don't say bismillah and give salam when you enter, say bismillah when you eat, shaitan will have a portion of your food. And if you don't say bismillah when you have your sexual intercourse with your spouse, then you will be having sexual intercourse in the share with shaitan. And so much so that the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, towards the dua, who says in the translation and meanings, when you have sexual intercourse with your spouse, you say, in the name of Allah, Allah, keep me far and from shaitan, and that which shaitan will touch from what you have will sustain, will provide us with. That is in terms of any product from that intercourse. So therefore we ask Allah for the protection from the act itself and that which may come and stem from that act of intercourse, the child or the fetus. And do that at the time of intercourse to prevent the shaitan from afflicting or touching anything of the goodness of your home. And these are the things that we've been taught from the sunnah. These are things that Allah and our Prophet taught us in protecting ourselves and reciting the Quran. Above all, Surah Al-Baqarah, where the Prophet said, whoever recites Surah Al-Baqarah in their homes, any home that Surah Al-Baqarah is recited, shaitan cannot enter. And it's good to recite it once a month, twice a month, three times a month, if you're able to. These are the things that help us prevent. Of course, Ayatul Kursi among them. We've been taught the ways and means to prevent ourselves, and the chief prevention is not only the goodness and the things that we should do in terms of a salat and recitation of the Quran and good behavior with each other, and also being together with people, not to be by yourself, to live in groups in your homes, that is by the family, live as a family. For verily, the Prophet ﷺ said, the traveler who is traveling alone travels with shaitan, and verily, if there are two among you, the third is shaitan, for the one who is with a woman who is not ligama. And verily, we see clearly that shaitan is a partner in those actions when we're by ourselves. And in another narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, verily, shaitan preys upon the individual like a wolf preys upon the lone sheep. So therefore, stick to the jama'ah, stick to the group in your homes and other places, because this is, makes a less opportunity for shaitan to prey upon us. And above all, he mentioned at the end, keep from sin, keep from those things that are in the house that are prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep from those things that are the things that Allah has condemned, and purify yourself from the evil of sin and disobedience. And these are the main ways of prevention and cure from that disease which is in your homes and in your hearts.
أعتذر عن الرقية على هذا.
Somebody requested who has already been had recitation over them, we should have the repeated and have more recitation from the Sheikh to relieve him of that affliction. And he said, unfortunately, he's tired and the time is not proper right now. He cannot do it. And he apologized for that.
Last question.
About what was just mentioned about the home. Suppose you live in a situation where you're the only Muslim in the house and you have brothers and sisters and other family members in the house and you're kuffar. And they use drugs, they use profanity, they play music, they hang pictures, they keep the house filthy. No matter how many times you clean the house, you come back, it's always filthy. How do you as a Muslim protect yourself in that situation from the jinn entering into that house or being in that house and harming you or your family members?
كيف يحسن المسلم ساكن وسط بين الأهل عائلة الكفار وفيها مخدرات وموسيقى وكلام ليس جيد وهو وسط هذا الموضوع
كيف يحسن؟ وماذا يصنع المسلم الذي يعيش في أمريكا وهي كلها كفار في الشوارع وفي الطرقات وفي الحافلات وفي أتوبيسات
What's a Muslim living in this situation?
هو الله ويحفظه الله لأنه هو مثل الشمعة بين أمام في الظلام فمن كان معه النور فإنه لا تقترب منه الظلمة هو يكون في حصن حصين إن شاء الله وأنت تجاهد في أهلك حتى يسلموا والذي يخالط الناس ويصبر على أذاهم أجره عظيم إن قدرت أن تهاجر فهذا خير لك وإلا فاصبر حتى يجعل الله لك مخرجا.
Verily, the question is a general one for the life in America. I mean, what is one living in this situation? One should ask themselves, living in America would be in your homes in this situation, or on the streets, or in the places around where we inhabit in America. You are living in the middle of this filth and disease and corruption. So the question is to get out. Get out of this situation. There's not an answer to give you on how you can really, on an individual basis, protect yourself, other than asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who is the one who protects us all, and look for a glimmer of hope, like a crack in the shade of a tree as a glimmer that you can find yourself in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and protect you from the evil around you. In so much as a shade covers something and you see a little glimmer of a branch of light that comes through, figure yourself in that situation, that light will reach you by asking Allah for it, and finding a way out of it is only up to Allah by you making the effort to do so. If you're unable to do so, then be patient. If you're able to do so, get out of here, make hijrah, go to where the Muslims live. And therefore, stick too close to the religion. And make efforts towards your family to give them the da'wah to Islam and keep close to the people who are of the Jama'at, of the, according to the understanding of the Sunnah. And verily, we are already of the ghuraba. We are the strange ones in this time. They're going to be less in number, but you must stick to them. And you are going to be one of your family. You're going to be a gharib among them, I mean an individual among them. So therefore, this is a condition of all the ghuraba in our times, whether it be in America or other places. So be in somewhat comforted by that knowledge that we are in the minority anywhere we're going to be anyway. But in the meantime, make all efforts against your family in terms of against their evil, against their shirk, and giving da'wah to that, and asking Allah that it gives you a way out, a makraj, that is a way you can get out of this. So even if it was just a glimmer of a light from a branch of a tree, may Allah make this easy for us.
تكلمنا في الأذكار. قلنا كيف أذكار يا أخي صلاة قيام ليل ودعاء توحيد دعوة سنة.
So before we close, brother, this tonight, inshallah, the lecture of tonight was the last lecture of this program of Sheikh Muhammad Musa Nasr Hafidhullah. This last Friday. And almost like every night he gave lecture in Masjid Ahlul Quran and Sunnah. So if you miss any one of these lectures, the lectures are ready and the tapes are ready. So just purchase them from the bookstore. And the Sheikh, inshallah, he's leaving tomorrow. He's going to leave at 4 o'clock p.m. And tomorrow he will spend the day at Masjid Al-Birr in Astoria. He will give khutbah al-Jum'ah in that masjid and also a short lecture. So if you are more interested, you can go to that masjid and listen to the Shaykh inshallah. He will be at Masjid Al-Birr, Astoria, 36th Avenue, I think, and 30th Street. And then after that, he will go and leave towards his country. He's leaving tomorrow, inshallah. And he's going to start his job the next day. The Sheikh Muhammad Musa Nasr is a professor at the college. He teaches the sciences of the Quran and also the recitations of the Quran. Also, I would like to announce some activities that we are having, inshallah, very soon. On April 8th and 9th, we're going to have a conference, the fourth conference of Masjid Al-Quran wa Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, the Sheikh Muhammad Musa Nasr is coming, inshallah, and also Sheikh Osama Al-Qusi from Egypt, and Sheikh Ali Al-Halabi, and Sheikh Salim Hilali. The four of them, inshallah, they will be here on April 8th and 9th. And inshallah, we will announce later where we're going to have this conference. Also, the four shuyukh are coming also in the month of July. In the month of July, we will have an Islamic seminar, which will be 2 weeks. 2 weeks of classes and lectures for any Muslim who wants to increase his knowledge about his deen. This course is for everybody, not only for student of knowledge. If you have some interest in your deen, inshallah, you can come and learn. And I'm asking Sheikh Muhammad Musa Nasr, inshallah, I'm trying with him, if he can stay with us for the whole summer, 2 months, July and August. And he promised me, inshallah, he will do his best to stay in Masjid Al-Quran wa Sunnah for 2 months. And inshallah, the topic that he will talk about in the summer, he will be about our aqidah, about the Tawheed and the Islamic creed. You see, the topic that he was talking since yesterday, which is the topic of al-jinn, those people who have problem with the jinn, it's because he mentioned that because of their aqidah. If your aqidah is strong, if you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you rely on Him, and you are not scared of anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, jinn will never come to you, will never touch you, will never damage anyone of your family. A lot of people, they are having problem with the jinn because of our aqidah. Our aqidah is so weak. We don't know many, many things about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't study our deen. So inshallah, this is a good opportunity for all of us, those people who come to Masjid Al-Quran, or those who are far from Masjid Al-Quran, in the month of July and August, inshallah, you can come here and you can increase your knowledge about this aqidah. We know the six pillars of Islam. And these six pillars of Islam need a lot of explanation. We have to know our prophets, we have to know the angels, we have to know the word of jinn. The scholars, they wrote many, many books about this word that a lot of people, they don't think even about it. The jinn are like us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that He created jinn first, before human being. Jinn and the human being for one reason, which is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are creators like us, they are creations like us. So do not miss these opportunities, brothers. When we have any conference, any seminar, we want all the Muslim family, not only yourself, encourage, bring your family with you to learn. And alhamdulillah, this shuyukh that we are calling are students of big scholars like Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Muhammad Al-Uthaymin kathalik. So they are not just graduated from colleges and stuff. No, they are students of big scholars. So we are encouraging everybody to come, inshallah. And the last thing to mention, or let me mention what the brother Muhammad Singh gave me here. Sunday, this coming Sunday, right? At 6 p.m. there will be a class on Hajj. This lecture is translated from the lecture of Sheikh Osama Al-Qusi. Sheikh Osama Al-Qusi, when he was here 2 weeks ago, he gave a lecture about the Hajj in Arabic, and our brother Muhammad Yassin, he translated already in English. He spoke about the first part of this lecture, and on Sunday he will finish and complete this lecture about Hajj. So if you are going to Hajj inshallah this year, come and have some fiqh about how to make Hajj. The last thing I want to mention, announce to the brothers, that we are having a conference on the 8th and 9th of April, and we are bringing 4 shuyukh, and you know, this cost a lot of money, and we need a lot of help from the brothers. So inshallah, one brother, he will pass the donation box to you. If you can help Masjid Al-Quran Al-Sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for that. And believe me, brothers, all the money that you're going to give is going for the masjid purpose. We are having so much projects, so much things to do. And we need help, you know, especially in this country. To work for the da'wah, for the Allah's sake, is not easy. All of us, we have to help. If you cannot give any money, if you don't have anything, we are asking you, brother, just to make dua for us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to keep continue doing work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah, one brother, he will distribute these flyers about the Islamic seminar. As I said, encourage your family, even yourself, even if you are 50 years old, come to this Islamic seminar and increase your knowledge. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you for your coming. Thank you for coming. وجزاكم الله خيرا. He said, without your support, the shuyukh, they cannot come to the Masjid Al-Quran Al-Sunnah. This will be written in your records in the Day of Judgment, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you.